It is 7:41. Now, how does a Buddhist celebrate Christmas? It's a question that's common to all non-Christians at this time of year, as Sikhs, Jews and atheists celebrate the festival in their own way. One such fan of Christmas is Buddhist Maya Hansen, who is a blogger and writer for the Buddhist Society. She's on the line now. Morning, Maya.
Good morning. Thank How are you?
Very well. Thank you for asking. I hope you're well too. The idea of Christmas and Buddhism seem to be separate, but you've managed to bring the two together, I understand.
I've kind of felt obliged to, because I'm living in the UK, and wherever I am, I like to pick up the customs just out of respect for that country.
Right.
So, yes, absolutely no problem doing that at all. As you may know, I grew up in Sweden, and we've got very similar customs there with the Christmas tree and Santa coming and giving gifts to each other and so on. So it is a season of goodwill, and Zen Buddhism is very big on goodwill. So I like to jump on that bandwagon, if you like, and enjoy it along with everybody else.
I suppose it's also about living in the moment, and so you're really reflecting that, aren't you?
Exactly. You've got to remember what's here and now at all times. That's just part of the Zen Buddhist practice. And around me, everybody's carousing, having a good time, enjoying, connecting again, having some time off work. But also, you know, putting up the usual Christmas tree and things like that. So I do like to do that too. It's good fun.
And what were your childhood Christmases like then? Were they sort of the traditional Christmases that people think of when it comes to Christmas?
Very much so, yes. Well, Sweden is even colder and darker than the UK at the moment. But otherwise, it's almost as if the Scandinavian Christmas is one of the original ones, because it used to be heavy with snow, not so much anymore. But it was when I grew up. So I just remember these very dark, quiet, atmospheric Christmases with stars in the sky and snow usually falling somewhere around Christmas Day, kids going out to play, things like that. So it was a very, very cosy feeling with a warmth inside and the darkness outside, and everybody just huddling together under the tree, giving each other gifts. So,
but your parents, I understand, were atheists.
They were, yes. They brought me up to believe in science over religion, unfortunately. So that was very interesting for me, because I was always quite a soulful child, if you like. But I stuck to my fairy tales, because I thought they were the most soulful things I could find in a house. My mother disagrees, by the way. She thinks she brought us up to be open-minded. Whereas my dad, I asked him, is there a God? Because I knew there was something. I just had the feeling that there was something.
Yes.
And I asked him things like, is there a God? And he said, don't be silly. Here's a guidebook to the Big Bang in 12 easy steps kind of thing.
Yes.
So he definitely didn't believe it. And of course I believed whatever my dad believed, because I saw he knew everything in the whole universe. So I just followed in his footsteps until I was old enough to think for myself,
which
wasn't, unfortunately, until I was a teenager. And that's when I started to turn to Buddhism.
Is there a contradiction in celebrating or marking Christmas and being a Buddhist?
I don't think there can be. My teachers are from Throstlehold Buddhist Abbey in Northumberland, and they are English, and so they honour that culture. There is something in Buddhism where you honour your background, you honour your culture, and where you come from, because that's what brought you to where you are now, including if you're a Buddhist, it brought you to Buddhism. So there's never a sort of negation of where you come from and what your culture does. And they very much enjoy an English Christmas, because everybody there is English. So they've got, I think they've got their tree, but they definitely have the same, very similar rituals to everybody else in the UK and enjoy that. And so do I.
And what were you...
Enough, there's something about Buddhism which doesn't really negate everything else.
It's
sort of, you accept everything that is around you.
Yes.
And I suppose if you are English or European, then you pick up on your roots as well and try to practice that. It does sound very confused, I guess, to somebody who isn't Buddhist, but it doesn't feel confused at all. We've got our own rituals as well. We celebrate the Buddha's Enlightenment Day, which was earlier this month, for example, and things like that. But it just doesn't feel like taking on anything extra special. It just feels like another cultural tradition, which is really lovely to share with other people, because you don't want to shut everybody out who's not Buddhist.
Yes.
That would also be not a very compassionate thing to do.
And what is this thing about pure white trees and dark red apples?
Ah, well, that's completely a figment of my imagination. Buddhists are very imaginative when they adapt to whatever culture they're in. And also, they don't have any set rules for it. Things have got to be this way.
Yes.
So I quite enjoyed myself with that. Zen Buddhism is really big on symbolism anyway. We've got different coloured robes for what kind of monk you are, for example. I'm not a monk, but it's quite interesting seeing your monks in our tradition, because it's a Japanese tradition, have purple robes, which symbolises wisdom, and they've got a red sash, for example. which symbolises the blood lineage. And I really love the colour red anyway. Mm-hmm. So I used the colour red in these dark red apples that are hung on my white tree, because partly because it's just really beautiful.
Yes.
But also, to me, apples symbolise choice. And obviously, that goes way back to Adam and Eve. So I want to sort of give a nod to the tradition that I'm living in at the same time as thinking about what does choice mean and the responsibilities that I want to make for those choices that I'm thinking about and taking over the next year. So I'm sort of thinking about the new year as well there and about some Buddhist tenets about choice and responsibility. And the white tree, for me, stands for purity. You wear white as a novice monk.
Right.
And it's sort of, it's meant to stand partly for purity and for nothingness and trying to clear your mind, really, in order to be open for whatever's going to come next.
And it sounds like you are, I mean, I'm sure many people do this already, but there's a freedom in what you're describing of being able to interpret whatever the season or the time is in your own way without being hell-bound by what is the status quo.
It feels like it, yes. I mean, the main thing about Zen Buddhism is that we meditate, and we have a particular kind of meditation where we don't focus on any particular object or chant or anything like that.
Yeah.
And so because we don't focus on anything in particular, we just concentrate on awareness in general. There is definitely a freedom there, which I like to experience, but partly maybe that is just my personality anyway. So you can't just ascribe everything to your religion, I guess, and just say, oh, this is the way it is in my religion because it's the way I want it to be. There's not that much personal freedom, but because you're trying to put yourself aside when you're meditating and when you practice Zen Buddhism, there's that freedom there because you're putting that personal will aside, the willfulness, if you like.
Oh, wow.
And that does open you up to do whatever feels right in that moment.
In that moment. Well, it's certainly given us food for thought. Thank you so much for joining us this morning, Maya Hansen, talking about Buddhism and Christmas.